Cessna delivers the first customer CJ-4. The FAA fines a flight school a third of $1 million. And it's been a great year for de-icing fluid. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, April 22, 2010. Cessna has made the first customer delivery of a Citation CJ-4. It was also the first Citation of any sort delivered with Cessna's newly released GreenTrack flight planning software. The delivery was made to an unnamed customer. The CJ-4 was certified in March by the FAA. It's the newest and largest member of the CJ family. It is approved for single-pilot operations and shares a common pilot type rating with other CJs. A typically equipped Citation CJ-4 costs about $9 million. GreenTrack is a proprietary system, the first offered by a GA manufacturer, to use a process known as cost indexing to minimize total trip cost by balancing the costs of direct operation, fuel burn, and carbon emissions. If you attend a Part 141 flight school, and it seems as if they're cutting you a lot of slack, question things. That could be one lesson for students from the tale of North Air Aviation of Prescott Valley, Arizona. Students who trained there over a four-month period in 2008 have had their certificates suspended by the FAA, and North Air has 30 days to respond to FAA allegations that its instructor and student records were out of compliance with the FAR, unapproved course outlines were used, and that it issued graduation certificates and recommendations for pilot certificates and ratings to students who had failed to complete the training specified in the school's course, failed to complete all curriculum requirements, and/or failed the final test. A company official is also accused of knowingly falsifying a record indicating an instructor had received a required proficiency check. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt is not amused. Quote, "Pilots must receive comprehensive training and taking shortcuts isn't acceptable. Schools dedicated to teaching pilots the skills they need to fly safely are required to follow all FAA regulations," unquote. The FAA has proposed a $330,000 fine. It was a really tough winter for parts of the world, and Kilfrost Limited of the UK says that for a while it was running production shifts 24/7 to keep up with the need for its de-icing and anti-icing fluid products. Export sales in the last 3 years, in fact, have risen 145% despite the recession. In honor of that achievement, Kilfrost has been presented with the UK's prestigious Queen's Award for Enterprise in the international trade category. Congratulations. Up next on ANN, the Dutch are saying the volcano cloud forecasts were accurate. A consultant says so-called airline test flights in the ash are potentially dangerous hype. And union workers in the UK say, don't expect us to bear any volcanic pain. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. With the costs of lost business for Europe and its airlines due to volcanic ash reaching well into the billions of euros, work has already begun to see if the theoretical models used to predict the cloud's movement and make decisions to close airspace were accurate. The NLR, a Dutch abbreviation for the Netherlands National Aerospace Laboratory, sent a Cessna Citation up on Sunday night to see how closely the location of the cloud matched forecast models, and it looks like they were pretty close. Just as important, the mission determined that the edges of the ash cloud were highly visible, which is important for pilots when airspace is temporarily or conditionally opened. The NLR is cooperating with other Dutch agencies to determine the best methods for quickly and safely launching sensors and measuring instruments capable of accurately monitoring volcanic ash. Unite, the union representing 70,000 aviation industry workers in the UK, says it understands that all those grounded flights will be a source of financial pain for the airlines, but warns carriers its members are not prepared to share in that pain. Steve Turner, Unite National Officer for Civil Aviation, explains the union's position. Quote, "We understand the difficulties this extraordinary situation has placed upon the sector, but it is not acceptable to ask workers to pay with their wages or their jobs. We expect the aviation sector to back loyal professional employees and look seriously at meeting these employment costs during tough times. The unsung heroes of aviation, its lowest paid, working under the wing to provide essential services, will not pay the price of another crisis in the sector. Unpaid leave, unless voluntary, is not an acceptable option for our members who have families to feed and homes to keep. Should an employer seek to impose such a measure, we will offer the full support of this union to defend our members." Unquote. Airbus says it used already scheduled test flights to collect data on the effects of volcanic ash on jets on Tuesday. The company flew an A380 with four EA engines and an A340-600 fitted with Rolls-Royce engines in French and German airspace, and says it will share the findings from those flights with the relevant airworthiness authorities and engine manufacturers as soon as possible. CEO Tom Enders observed, quote, "Obviously, the entire industry wants to find a solution as soon as possible and see aircraft flying again in the European skies." Unquote. Max Sukhasantikal, a commercial aviation consulting analyst at Frost & Sullivan, is warning that the so-called test flights made by European airlines during the volcanic crisis are publicity stunts and could bring public pressure resulting in poor decisions by regulators. He contends that the flights publicized by KLM, Lufthansa, and British Airways, unlike the Airbus tests, carried no testing equipment. He says those flights were, in reality, routine repositioning flights. He adds that instrumented test flights have brought back evidence that the flight bans were justified. Sukhasantikal fears that the airline stunts increase the likelihood that decisions to open dangerous airspace will be made in reaction to political pressure from the public as a result of the airline propaganda. He adds that smaller airlines with limited credit lines could face significant hardship due to the cancellations of flights the past few days. But Max does find one upside for this episode. He says the economic fallout will make it obvious to even anti-aviation activists that trying to curb the growth of the airline industry hurts the entire global economy. Still ahead, something we've learned about the moon will stand your hair on end. Airline employment in the U.S. is down again. And Gates proposes an end to export control madness. You're listening to Aeronews.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, April 22nd. I'm Paul Platt. As scientists learn more about the environment at the poles of the moon, excitement over discoveries such as frozen water ice are being balanced by discoveries of new challenges to operations there. NASA says it's working on better computer models to analyze the effects of solar winds, which blow almost horizontally across craters near the lunar poles. Researchers now believe that solar wind, which is a stream of charged particles, induces charges of hundreds of volts at the leeward side of craters, causing dust to levitate, like styrofoam packing peanuts when you try to pour them into a cardboard box. William Farrell of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center says the discovery of the solar wind charging is consistent with observations during the Apollo era. Quote, "The Apollo astronauts in the orbiting command module saw faint rays on the lunar horizon during sunrise that might have been scattered light from electrically lofted dust," unquote. The implications are significant. Aside from the effects of the high voltages on sensitive man-made equipment, the extremely abrasive dust could wear out spacesuits and may be hazardous if tracked inside spacecraft and inhaled over long periods. The U.S. government reports scheduled passenger airlines in the U.S. employed 3.5% fewer workers in February than they did a year earlier. Those measurements are expressed in FTE, or full-time equivalents, which could be either one full-timer or two part-timers. Total employment in the industry was found to be 378,100 FTEs, down more than 13,000 from February of 2009. The numbers were reported by the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, which is now part of the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, which is part of the U.S. Department of Transportation. I'm guessing the FTE count is not falling anywhere there. And finally today, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is proposing yet another bureaucracy to oversee the defense industry. And the industry is actually supporting the idea. The Washington Post reports Gates Tuesday addressed a meeting of business executives for national security and called the current maze of bureaus with their fingers in export controls a Byzantine amalgam that actually harms our national security by blocking arms sales to allies and giving an advantage to foreign manufacturers. He cites the example of a British C-17 that sat grounded in Australia until the Aussies got permission from the U.S. to repair it. Quote, "These are two of our very strongest allies, for God's sake," unquote. Gates says the Obama administration will replace the Cold War era patchwork with a single list of products that require government permission to export and seek legislation to create a single licensing agency as well as a single enforcement agency. Among those immediately on board is the Aerospace Industries Association. CEO Marion Blakey said of the secretary's remarks, quote, "Export control modernization will serve our national security, foreign policy, and economic interests well. Ultimately, it is the men and women in uniform who will benefit most. AIA is committed to seeing this important work to its conclusion," unquote. Hey, I'm starting an office pool, and I need to figure out what numbers to put in the squares. How many of the FTEs in those current bureaus will still have their jobs even after the new bureau is created? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the second part of his address at AEA 2010, FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt discusses how significant aviation is to the economy of the U.S. and why NextGen will have such a major impact. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.